Technology today has never been smarter. But smart only matters when you put it to good use. Together we can build a smarter future for all of us. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart.
With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. The U.S. is on track to spend more on its debt than on defense. The reason is that interest costs on the debt are rising rapidly. We'll have more on this in a moment. First, here are some money headlines. It looks like we can expect more volatility after Monday's stock market rout. The Dow tumbled more than 600 points and the Nasdaq fell 2.8%. It came after an Apple supplier issued a bleak forecast, raising concerns about iPhone demand. But the Wall Street Journal's Mike Wursthorn says there is a silver lining for investors.
It doesn't really shake investors' overall conviction that, you know, when you're looking around the world, equities here in the U.S. still look really attractive overall. So investors are tempering all that volatility with just sort of where else do you put your money at this point?
Companies could automatically start transferring small retirement accounts belonging to employees who changed jobs to the 401k plans of their new employers. That's according to new guidance from regulators. The move is the latest effort to reduce the premature flow of money, potentially billions of dollars, out of 401k-style plans. A pair of recent Labor Department actions could give Retirement Clearinghouse LLC of Charlotte, North Carolina, a green light to automatically transfer small balances of $5,000 or less to a new employer's 401k plan, provided the employee doesn't opt out. The Wall Street Journal says the biggest biotech IPO on record is coming soon, with a whopping $7 billion price tag. Moderna Therapeutics, one of the most closely watched biotechs, filed a registration statement with the Securities and Exchange Commission last week to raise up to $500 million. Moderna is valued at about $7 billion based on its last fundraising. The offering is likely to take place before the end of the year. Moderna's high price is driven by its promising approach to developing medicines based on custom-built strands of a cellular component known as messenger RNA. The treatments are designed to trigger cells to make proteins that will prevent or fight disease. In theory, this technology could be used to create dozens of drugs and vaccines to fight or prevent everything from cancer to the Zika virus to heart disease. Still ahead, spending on the federal debt is expected to skyrocket because of rising interest costs. This is your money briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what business you're in, you know the importance of financing to help manage your cash flow. Flexible funding solutions from American Express can help. Eligible card members get business loans up to $50,000 decided in as little as 60 seconds. It could be a big headline for your business. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it. Terms apply. For details, visit americanexpress.com/business.
What's the most expensive item on the government's spending budget? Before too long, it could be the debt held by the nation's taxpayers. Uncle Sam is projected to spend more on debt than on national defense, Medicaid, or non-defense discretionary programs. Financing our growing debt hasn't really been a problem over the past few years, but it looks like that is changing. Joining us to explain this is Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Kate, I am under the impression that as large as the debt has grown, the biggest problem is interest on the debt. Is that right?
Yes. Well, interest on the debt is the fastest growing part of the federal budget. Thinking about it more broadly, some of the bigger drivers of the debt do include programs like Medicaid and Social Security, in part because, you know, the population is growing older. You know, those baby boomers are retiring. They are drawing more from those programs, and those programs are getting, they're getting more expensive. But what we're seeing right now, the costs that are going up the fastest are these interest costs.
By how much have our interest costs grown?
Well, over the past decade or so, the costs have been pretty manageable, and that's primarily because the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates near zero after the recession. A few years ago, they started very slowly raising them, and they're projected to continue raising them through next year. We had a few rate increases in 2018. We expect one more, perhaps, in December, and then three or four next year. And as that happens, of course, interest rates are going up. So in the past year alone, interest payments rose 20%. Another factor, too, is just that the overall size of the debt is going up. So it's the size of the debt and interest rates are contributing to this higher amount. And as you mentioned, Charlie, just within a few years, that's going to mean that these interest payments are amounting to more than we spend on the entire Medicaid program, for example. That's just by 2020. By 2023, they could be bigger than the whole defense budget. So it's really adding up.
So this is obviously going to crowd out government spending on other priorities.
I mean, that's how the thinking goes. And that's, I think, what we've seen before. There are, of course, some people who argue that deficits and rising debt can be managed. There are opportunities for Congress to come up with, some big agreement to try to tackle these deficits. But if they don't, going forward, that could crowd out private investment and generally just be bad for the economy and weigh on economic growth. And that's why the conversations about deficit were a central part of the debate over the tax cuts and whether they would generate enough economic growth to pay for themselves, because if they don't, that is just going to add to the debt in the years to come.
Well, you write that within the next year, Congress, which has now become divided since the Democrats took the House, they're going to have some decisions to make on whether to expend a budget agreement.
Right. So, so I mentioned the tax cut, and that, of course, we've seen it affecting revenues, and that's having some deficit effects and could weigh on the deficit. The other piece, of course, is spending. So something else Congress did last year that's kind of under the radar for a lot of people is they passed this very large agreement to boost federal spending, $300 billion over a couple of years. And that agreement will expire in September, and they'll have to not just pass new spending bills to avoid a government shutdown next year, but potentially come up with another longer term or medium term agreement for a couple or a few years, maybe even longer. And the big question is, are they going to just agree to spend a lot more money, or are they going to agree that they need to pay for that? They need to find somewhere else. If they want to increase spending on certain programs, they need to offset it elsewhere, or they need to raise taxes. And all of those things seem very politically difficult, especially, as you said, in a divided Congress.
And of course, interest rates have gone up, making repaying the debt more expensive. President Trump has weighed in, saying the Fed should not raise interest rates because it makes it harder to pay off the debt.
Right. I mean, it seems like his initial criticism is very much about he doesn't want them to slow down economic growth, but kind of the next layer, if you're listening closely to what he says, is that he's frustrated. This is money that could be going to other things. This makes it more expensive to pay down the debt, and that's bad for the government. Of course, I think the Fed would probably argue, the Fed doesn't really respond to his criticism at all, but I think the argument from the other side would be that the Fed's job is to make sure that the economy is operating on an even keel, that inflation is not going up too quickly, that jobs are plentiful, and so they can't really be worried about whether their actions might increase interest costs. That's not their mandate, and that's not really what they're focused on. They want to make sure that prices are kept in check and that the economy stays healthy and continues to expand.
And I guess from a purely political standpoint, some people would argue that just his wanting to cut taxes would increase the debt even more.
For sure. Part of something the president said a few weeks ago was that, we have these rising interest rates and we could be paying down our debt. But in fact, it's a little bit like saying, if the rates on my credit card were zero, I could be paying it off. But then at the same time, turning around and charging more things on it. It's kind of a little bit of it's not a perfect analogy, but, the government is continuing to issue a lot of debt. And because of these deficits that are related to higher spending and tax cuts, arguably over the past year. So the president is saying we could be paying down our debt, but really we're not anywhere close to that.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Thanks a lot, Kate.
Thank you, Charlie.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.